Hello, this is Candace Burke, host of Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Silver City, New Mexico, Kuru 89.1 FM, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. Today's guest is Leah Villarreal. Leah is here to talk about the Wednesday Gila Farmers Market. Welcome to Community Spotlight, Leah.
Good morning, Candace.
Really glad you're here today.
Thank you.
As the market manager, you have lots to talk about today. Let's begin by talking to us about the history, mission, vision, and current experiences you're having with the Gila Farmers Market.
Well, currently our 2022 season has been excellent. We've been able to meet the demands of our customers. 500 customers a Saturday are coming to the market and purchasing produce. And we have several programs in act right now that are being very successful. And so both of our customers and our farmers are benefiting from these programs.
And what are the hours?
We have a Saturday market in Silver City, and that is from 9 a.m. to 12. And then we have a Wednesday market in Gila, and that is also 9 a.m. to 12.
So you have a very busy schedule because you're a farm owner yourself. Plus, you're the, you know, you manage these farmers markets.
Absolutely.
How do you get it all done?
Careful balance, careful scheduling, and I also have help. I've got a couple of great people that help me on Saturday and Wednesday. And also my husband and my son are very involved in the farm and the market. So it's not just me keeping it all together, but it's a group effort.
Now, I want to hear all about the vendors you have right now at the Gila Farmers Market. What are the vendors? And you have the Double Up program there as well as the community table.
That's right. We have around 26 vendors a Saturday. Some of those are artisans, but most of them are producing produce, fresh produce, and then also processing and turning their produce into canned goods or baked goods. And some of the farms that stand out right now is Eric Leahy with Gone Fishing and Nava Deeth with Easy Does It, Jan Weisling with PA Orchards, and of course Tracy and John with the Membries Farm. There are major hitters. I hope I didn't forget anybody. Yeah. Myself with Dominguez Canyon Farms, we bring quite a bit of produce, and we have a few other vendors from the Membries area and Gila and Cliff that, you know, they come every other week. And so we've got great participants and, you know, they all love being there and it's a great environment. We have live music every Saturday too. So
you do the same as we have at our market here in Silver.
That's
you
right.
Have it there too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot's been going on over the summer with the floods, and I was able to read an excerpt from your talk you gave about how it's affected the farmers and the residents of Cliff, Gila, and the surrounding area. What can you share with us about what you talked about and your concerns?
Oh, so the rainy season hit us a little early this year, back in June, and we were so grateful to receive the rain because we were coming out of a drought. And but those rains kept coming and impacting, and then the forest fires up in the mountains to the north, those had been burning. So with all the water that we received, it's caused some flooding, and it's, you know, it's got historical impacts. You know, they come every 10 years, the locals can say. So that the Gila River flooded, it reached some pretty historical heights at 15 and a half feet back August 22nd. And at that point, we have three ditches in the Gila Valley that have a diversion off the Gila River. And so we all closed our gates and everything, but we had to wait for the water to go down. And once the water went down and we could get up there and look at what we, you know, what happened.
That's daunting.
It was pretty intense. Very daunting task, to the point that there was a, the governor issued a state of emergency, or I'm going to say it wrong, but the declaration of emergency. And so they were, we were able to get more help from the county, possibly from federal aid. And that's currently ongoing to help us put this, these three diversions back in. And there's also quite a bit of washing in, Bear Creek, which is also flooding at the same time that the Gila River was flooding. And so that also impacted the Greenwood Creek, which washed out the bridge on the 180.
That was and the creek, Greenwood Creek.
Greenwood is what washed out the bridge, the main bridge on Highway 180, and one of the main bridges. And so that shut us down in Gila for 4 days. And it's just been amazing what Mother Nature can bring down, and then how the farmers and the citizens react and cope and manage, and you know, the community pulls together, the meetings happen, and so we're all working together, and we're, you know, we'll come back from this, of course.
I was so heartened by how you all came together as a community. You know, I heard the different stories, and that just really, again, reinforces to me how incredible we are in this area, what we do for one another.
Absolutely. And that's been going on for generations. And a lot of us have ties, deep ties, back to the 1880s in the Gila Cliff.
Your husband, for example, right? He does.
That's correct. Yes. The Villarreal and Dominguez family settled in Gila back in the 1880s. And they also worked for Lyons and Campbell Corporation. And they were the largest cattle company in the area. And they fed the army at one point. So it's very amazing. And they established it there. And that's just been passed down. And, you know, slowly it sells off and it transfers hands. And but there's been a few families that have been able to maintain that farm. So this farm's been running for several generations.
That's incredible. And you, what do you sell at the farmer's market?
Well, right now we currently sell a variety of peppers and tomatoes, cucumbers, eggs, and
green
beans.
Tell me about all your chickens.
Yes. And what else do we have? We do pickles and pickled jalapenos and watermelons, cantaloupe. So quite a few things going on. And fresh herbs. And like I said, in the wintertime, it changes up and we do more of the cool weather vegetables. So,
like really cool. Not
yes.
just literally and figuratively, really cool veggies.
Yes. And Eric Leahy, he also grows year-round, so he brings a great variety of root vegetables to the market. He's known for carrots and turnips and beets and those kinds of things, too. So,
what do you love most about your work as a market manager?
I would say it's the all of us coming together and having that small community of us just interacting, and that's what I love, is that gathering of like-minded individuals that all have the similar goals. So that's what I really enjoy.
And what are some of the challenges along with that?
It's, again, careful managing and, you know, listening, being an open ear to concerns or anything going on at the market, or, you know, and just being on top of guiding the vendors and the customers around the guidelines that were created for the farmers market.
Yeah, now that sometimes can be like herding chickens.
I know, you know, it's a juggling act, honestly. You've got a lot of knives in the fire, you know, iron in the fire. So, but it's good, you know. My main goal is to be there and have fun. And because we all work so hard, and we bring our goods to market, and we want to relax and listen to the music, enjoy our customers, and sell our goods, and just have fun.
Yeah, and you are having fun.
We are.
You really are. Now, what can you tell our listeners about the location of the Gila Market? Location and times again, and what they can expect.
The Gila Market is located in downtown Gila, across the street from the post office and the library. And our hours are every Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And that is a seasonal market that we will run for 6 months out of the year, not year round. So we'll be there from July to the end of October, hopefully every year.
Yes. Is Silver City year-round now?
That's correct.
That's what I thought.
Yes. We'll take a week off after Thanksgiving and a Saturday off after Christmas and New Year's. And then we'll have 2 weeks in January and 2 weeks in February. And March, we'll start back every Saturday.
And what else have you experienced with, you know, different changes, you know, with our demographics and new people moving in? Have you seen that? Have you observed that yourself?
I believe I'm seeing an impact of more students that are attending the university here. I realize that there's a lot more youth or younger individuals coming in, you know, single individuals that are here just studying. And they're finding that the market is here. And, of course, they didn't know we were here before because they just moved here to go to school. And so we've been able to somehow get our advertising to them to bring them into the market. And that's really neat because we're educating, you know, the younger generation on quality food and the impact of farmers market and farmers and the whole circle of that.
So. That's really delightful to hear more young people are partaking of the market.
Absolutely.
And do they have a lot of questions for you typically when they come through?
They do. They're very curious about where our farm is located, or what are your growing practices? Are you growing organically or hydroponically? Are you using natural sources of fertilizers?
Wow.
So they're very interested, and they're also interested on, well, how do I use these vegetables? You know, what can I do with this? Mm-hmm. What kind of meals can I make? They are interested in any recipes or, you know, how do you eat this? What's your favorite way to cook green beans? So,
yeah, that's great to hear. Now, with the Double Up program, this is a program that helps SNAP recipients, you know, double their food when they arrive.
That's correct. If you come to the market and you can get $20 of EBT SNAP, we're going to double that and give you the same amount in silver tokens to use for fresh fruits and vegetables. And that is a program that was created to encourage the use of more fruits and vegetables in the diet because of the multitude of health benefits.
Yeah, most definitely. How successful is the program so far? Are you seeing more SNAP recipients making use of the farmers markets? And
absolutely, we are seeing growth in that area, and you know, we are. I'm still new to the program, and I know that there has been growth, and I'll be able to show the amount of growth at the end of the year, after our Farmers Marketing Association finishes their side of it. And then I have a lot more to learn in that area, but I know it's growing.
Now let's hear more about the community table.
The community table is provided there every Saturday. We give you a tent and a table to use to come out and get to know how to be at the farmer's market and be a vendor and see what we can do to get you to be a returning vendor. And you can try that out for the first two times. And there's a $5 fee to come and try that out. And after two markets, then you're able to become a regular vendor, and we can give you then we can give you more of a permanent stance.
So really, that's how it works for someone who wants to be a vendor. This is the way to do it.
That's right. It's that first step to get into the market is to use the community table.
Now, what about volunteers? How can someone get involved as a volunteer?
Yes, we are always looking for volunteers and help. And we have a market ambassador program that will even help supplement our volunteers. And they just need to contact me either in person at the market on Saturday, or they can email me at silvercityfarmersmarket@gmail.com. And we can communicate through email about what that would entail. But we are always looking for great individuals.
And what can you say about some future projects coming up? Any future events that we can look forward to?
Let's see. What do we got? In November, we will be basically doing our harvest market, and that seems to be when all of our vendors come out, because I think we have probably close to 50 vendors, but only about 26 of them attend every Saturday. And when we have the harvest in November, which is the end of the year, we have it's an exceptionally big market with a super big variety of produce and goods for Thanksgiving and gifts for around the holiday season and things like that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun too. Now, being a huge pumpkin aficionado, what can you say about pumpkins and squash?
Well, this year, the squash beetle was very impactful on people's squash and pumpkin crops.
The squash beetle, what the ham bone?
Yeah, it's an insect that likes to eat squash and pumpkin plants. And those insects land on the plants and then they suck the sap out of all of the leaves and the squash plant fails to thrive. And they attack when the squash plant is still small, like in May and June.
Yeah.
And the plant can't protect itself against the squash beetle. And if you organically grow, your only treatment for squash beetles is to squish them with your hands and hand pick them. And so it becomes where you eventually just pull the crop out and you hope for a better year next year. And so I know a lot of our farmers were impacted by that this year. And that is why you have not seen a lot of crookneck squash or zucchini at market, is because most of the crop failed this year.
Well, I had no idea that this happened. Those squash bugs.
I know.
Those darn things.
And one year they're bad, and the next year they're manageable.
That's so interesting.
You just never know.
No. Again, what else can you share with our listeners as we wrap up today's show? More about your experiences and what you envision overall. We're so impressed with what you're doing. And we love the market here in Silver, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Gila one. So what can you share with us?
Well, thank you, Candace. We're looking forward to our continued relationship with the Silver City Co-op. And with Mike and Kevin, they allow us the use of that space over there on 901 Pope Street. And so we're looking forward to their expansion, which is affording us a nice space in the back there. And then the Gila Market's going to continue until the end of October, and we're growing more and more every day. And and then we're just utilizing the WIC program this year. There was a lot of WIC changes.
Oh, it's gone. Tell us about that. We have some time. It's you gone. Can talk about WIC.
Okay. It's gone digital this year. Customers used to be issued an actual paper check, mm-hmm. and then that would be given to the vendors, and the vendors would deposit it in the bank. This year, it's gone digital. So there's been a lot of just technical challenges and getting our vendors switched over to that, and also educating our customers. And but it's great because I'm actually being able to take the time and walk around individually with my vendors or individually with these new customers. My market ambassadors also take part in educating with the WIC program. And then we did have the opportunity. We're currently filling 26 boxes for recipients in Columbus, New Mexico.
Oh, how is that working with Columbus? How is that?
So there is a representative in the WIC office here in Silver City, and they are facilitating the transportation of these 26 boxes from Silver City to Deming, then south to Columbus. And it was something I've put together with my WIC coordinator, Veronica. And so it's great because we're helping customers and we're helping the farmers because they, everybody benefits from this program.
Now, for those listeners who may not know what WIC is, explain to them what it is.
WIC is a program called Women's Infant and Children, and it includes seniors. And the best way to find out more information on that program is to go to look it up online. I believe it's WIC.org. And they'll walk you through the process. But this gives a program to qualified recipients, and they're allowed to use that and come to the farmer's market and buy produce, and seniors can buy honey. And this helps to get nutrition to both children or women who are with children, and then also seniors who are in need of just more nutrition, more nutrients.
Yes, and of course, that is such a huge issue going on across our country right now, you know, is food insecurity.
Food insecurity, and also because of the practices of the past decades, the food in the grocery stores is missing the mineral content and those micronutrients that are so necessary to our vital health. And so when you buy local and those farms are farming with more husbandry-like practices, that food actually contains the mineral content necessary to provide the health to our bodies. And that's the biggest difference between, say, some of the big store-bought foods to your local market is you're getting the freshest produce. And it was picked the day before it came to market, and it contains the freshest amount of nutrition and minerals.
Well, it makes all the difference in the world when things are locally sourced and produced.
It does. It's
so
amazing.
Much tastier, isn't it?
It's tastier, it's and it's amazing. You literally, you feel it in your body, the health benefits of buying local.
Yeah, the next time George opens up a canned vegetables, hopefully he'll keep that in mind.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of our vendors will can their green beans or can their vegetables afterwards before if they haven't sold at market, they'll can them. And those canned goods are even providing you with way more benefits.
They really are. And what other vegetables or produce would you like to grow on your farm, for example?
Well, I would like to grow everything, but I definitely have to limit myself to growing what I can actually manage by myself, because I could grow everything, but then I'd have to hire a bunch of people. And it's just not how it works on the small farm. So we're expanding into fruit trees. We've got some apples and things, but I'm pretty sure I'm just going to focus on what's really doing good for our farm right now. And that's the watermelons and tomatoes, cucumbers. They love the heat and our farm is hot.
Well, Leah, it was an absolute pleasure having you here today.
Thank you, Candace.
And I look forward to having you back on. You know, we talked earlier about should there be any future updates with the markets. You just come on over and talk with us about it.
That would be great. Look forward to it.
And, of course, anything else that you think that's going on in the community we should be aware of, even outside the market, in terms of farming and any of that kind of thing, we are happy to showcase that as well.
Good. When I have more updates on the flooding and the situation with the ditches there, acequias, that's that word, acequia.
Acequia.
I definitely love to be back.
Okay, it's a deal. Community Spotlight airs every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. It will also be available online at gmcr.org.